going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, a sometimes cynical and negative world, 98PXY dares to feel good.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
This is Moose and Breezy's Vibe Check.
Yeah.
PXY mornings on the number one hit music station, 98PXY.
Time for the Vibe Check on PXY Mornings. You got Moose, you got Breezy, and we're just
get in
on those delicious vibes. All of our friends are here. 585-252-9800. I have an angel and I have a devil on my shoulder this morning.
Oh, God.
On whether or not I should start popping some of these hard seltzers in the mini fridge.
Oh, why not? Just get after it. It's never too early to just crack a cold one. You know what I'm saying?
It's not.
I mean, I think that others would disagree, but they work a different schedule. So.
That's right.
We've been up for hours.
Oh, yeah. I've been up for 2 hours.
It's happy hour at this point.
It's happy hour. Let's see who's here this morning. What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in.
Let's see. Who are our friends on the text line? We have a Kelsey weighing in.
What's up, Kelsey?
Kelsey said, good morning, Breezy and Moose. Feeling good today because I have signed up and committed to run the half marathon in September.
Damn. I could never.
The Rochester one, Kels? Confirm, because I know for a fact it's a lot of hills.
13.2 miles?
One. But nevertheless, the Rochester Marathon goes from here all the way to like Duran, Charlotte.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's all like uphill.
Oh man.
So like,
you got to be ready to go.
Don't put me down for that.
You did it though.
I, not to undermine my own accomplishments, but I did, and I made sure to Google the flattest half marathon possible. That's what I did down in Corning.
Oh, that's okay. Got it.
Very flat. Not a hill in sight.
So I put the incline on the treadmill the other day at the gym.
Fell like off.
2.5, and I was like gassed.
No, you go from like a brisk walk, jog, a light perspiration to, no, I'm dripping sweat with that little incline. It's like crazy.
That is a marathon that is not for the weak.
No, not at all. Who else is here? We have Liz. She says, good morning. Feeling great today. My vibes are high because today is my Friday. Perfect. My vibes are up today because for the first time in, God, it seems like months, I'm finally getting paid for things that I've been owed money for years, it feels like. So
that is a good feeling.
All the money's where it's supposed to be. I'm feeling good. I'm investing in stocks. I'm kidding. I'm not investing in stocks at all. But it does seem like something I should do at some point in my life.
Yeah.
But no, I feel good about that. I felt a sense of anxiety knowing that money was missing, but it's with me now.
Oh, that's
so we're good to go.
If there's anything that makes Breezy happy, it's an espresso martini and cash.
A full bank account.
That's it. The vibes could be higher than they typically are. I just found out that Fyre Festival 2 is canceled.
You already got your tickets. What
Billy McFarlane canceled it because he said he could not afford a repeat of what happened the first time. And I so desperately wanted a second documentary of this idiot doing exactly what he did the first time.
Yeah, he couldn't afford a repeat because he didn't want to go back to jail.
Nepotism at its finest.
Who is his family? Like, why is he a thing? What is he attached to?
Billy McFarlane, from what most people know about him, he's just always been a business guy. And he was always
horrible one
leading
that.
Up to Firefest. The guy had a lot of money and was great with marketing.
You know when you like Google someone and you look up like their accolades, like actor, singer, entrepreneur, nothing under him, just nothing.
No, it's just him in an orange jumpsuit.
He looks like a Walmart version of Simon Cowell.
Yeah, the younger version.
Yeah.
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 But other than that, the vibes are up. I'm trying to get a happy hour together with my friends at CSE.
Just your friends. Don't have to say CSE. Your literal best friends, your literal crew.
I'm just trying to.
It was the CSC crew. Your best friends who you hang out every single weekend with. Perfect.
Yeah, but the vibes are up altogether. I can't believe tomorrow's Friday already. This week is flying by.
I know.
For some of you, if you're looking for a potential job this summer, we might have your back on something you could be doing.
Okay.
And you're going to get reimbursed because you have to get certified.
Not me signing up.
What do you need to get certified for aside from being a lifeguard?
A nurse? I don't know. A babysitter?
I don't know.
I don't think, possibly. I think you have to take a course. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but you're going to get reimbursed because sometimes this can be really expensive. But I'll tell you all the details about that coming up next. Thank you guys for the good vibes this morning. 75 for the high. It's PXY Mornings. It's PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. I'm not even going to try and convince people that I'm an amazing swimmer because I'm not. In high school, I was really jealous because two of my close friends got full rides to UB. And everybody's doing something. And I so badly wanted to be that guy, but I suck at swimming.
I didn't get a full ride, but I did dabble in Canandaigua Aquatics, I will say that. The butterfly was my favorite stroke, so.
I can swim, but my stamina is trash.
It's hard.
Yesterday, I was carrying groceries up the steps, and I was just absolutely gassed.
Gasping for air.
If you are looking for a job this summer, both Monroe County and Ontario County needs lifeguards at the local pools and beaches. I can't, guys, I told you I'm gassed. I can't do it. Breezy and I, we're going to need you guys to step up to the plate. Plus, Ontario County is using funds from a New York State program that's going to allow teens and young adults to just get reimbursed for the cost of lifeguard certification and training. I looked it up.
As they should. They should be paying for that anyways, I feel.
They need to because some people, when they see the cost, they don't want to do it.
Right.
And that's the problem.
It deters them from doing it.
Typically, it's $285 to get certified. If you need to get recertified, it's $185.
Okay.
But the goal here is to help fill lifeguard positions across the county and to help teens and young adults be able to take advantage of these openings by kind of eliminating the cost, if you will.
If you really think about it, being a lifeguard, although like
it's
a
so
lot
chill.
Of teens, like a lot of teens like gravitate toward it and like it is like chill, quote unquote, every single person in my high school growing up was a lifeguard at Roseland. They're like, I'll sit and get a tan at the wave pool. It'll be great. But it is like a pretty serious job to be letting teenagers have the lives of these children who are just trying to get their splash on in their hands.
Listen, in all of my years swimming and being at the beach and here, plus on the West Coast, I've never seen an individual that needed to be rescued. So
not
I'm not.
That you could.
I'm just. I've never seen it. I don't want to say it's a chill job, but you know, it's. You've
if
seen
you're
Baywatch
not rescuing. Yes, it's chill.
Yeah, Baywatch is extreme. That TV show made everyone like every single second of the day somebody needed to be rescued. But it's a TV show. But most of the time, you know, you're chilling.
You're eating your snacks. You're getting your tan and on.
As much as I thought in high school I could be a lifeguard, I never had the body for it because you got to be in shape. And I almost had abs in high school. I was in good shape, but I was like, yeah. I was, you see everybody else around you. I'm like, yeah, they're lifeguards. I'm just going to hang.
It's so crazy how much, you know, this like kind of basic teenage summer job. There's a lot that goes into it. Certification, training. I'm training in the sense of you got to get your body right. You got to make sure you're good for a one piece and good to go because you're not wearing a two piece. I'll tell you that much. You can't be having a nip slip while you're giving CPR.
I know. Like I look good in the shorts, but like I'll wear the hoodie. I'm gonna wear a hoodie. I don't care if it's 90 degrees out. It's like if somebody needs to be saved, I'm like, I'm gonna run into the ocean with my hoodie on. But I think one thing I was always envious about, too, is when it came to swimmers, like I said, just how ripped they are. Like, look at Michael Phelps.
The shoulders.
That dude ate 10,000 calories a day. Guy's got abs of steel.
Yeah, he crushes.
Yeah, I don't even need a six-pack. Just give me one. I'll take one ab.
You could eat a bowl of cereal out of his shoulder divots.
That guy he's a machine, I'll tell you that right now. So if you are looking for a job this summer, Monroe County and Ontario County needs lifeguards for the pools and the beaches.
And they're paying for you to do it.
Ontario County is the one that's going to be paying to use those funds for a New York State program. $285 to get certified, $185 to get recertified. So, you know, think about it. Save
use their
some
money.
Coming up on the show, Breeze.
Yesterday I found myself in a position that I was like, if I wasn't dating my girlfriend, I would literally never do this. But I think that this is the sign that you are a good partner. What is one thing that you are willing to do and attend because your partner loves it and it's a passion of theirs, but if it was just you on your own, you wouldn't be caught dead. I was doing this one thing yesterday and I thought to myself, how did I get here? I'll tell you what it is and what you've done for your partner coming up next.
That's not what we wanted there.
No, actually, it's very fitting for what we're about to talk about.
PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy. What's up, guys? Welcome to the show. Let's talk about relationships for one second, because sometimes when you're really deep into a relationship, maybe you guys have been dating for a year.
Yeah.
You find yourself doing things you would never normally do.
Yeah.
And you ask yourself the question, how the hell did we get here?
That was literally me last night. When it comes to loving someone with your whole heart, you're going to find yourself in those situations where you're in the middle of it and you're like, how did we get here?
Right.
So it's been a year with my girlfriend, Patrice.
Officially? When is a year?
So like, this is like also maybe something we can talk about tomorrow or something, but like our first date was April 7th, but like our official 1 year of like asking each other out was May 31st. So like we're somewhere in the in-between right now.
I guess if...
We've known each other a year. Let's just say
Well,
that.
If I had to choose, I would pick May 31st as the official
sure.
one-year date.
So we're just shy of a year here. And I found myself kind of in this situation, and I had a moment last night where I was doing something that I would literally never do. And it's not a big deal. Like I love supporting my girlfriend. But I'm not going to lie, when I was sitting there, I was like, I have some trauma right now. Like, I really do. So my girlfriend is a softball coach.
I guess the music would have made sense.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
She had a game last night?
She had a game last night. And I have gone to one game this season.
That's it?
One game. She coaches for a college, so they're traveling around and I'm not hauling ass to Cuca. Sorry, I'm just not doing it.
I don't blame you.
So when they're home and, like, you know, doing their thing, I'll go and show some love. I'll go and support.
Yeah, but do you make signs?
I did make a sign one time.
Uh-huh.
But I,
that was probably in the beginning of the relationship.
It was very early on.
When you're really trying to go all out.
No more arts and crafts for me. But I go to the game last night, and I'm like right behind home plate. I'm just like basically a second ump at that point.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, but like I'm there. And I'm,
you're on your phone. Let's
no,
be
I brought my laptop. I had work to do.
What are you doing on your laptop? Are you taking Zoom calls?
I was planning the show. I was moving money around. You know, there was a lot of things to, there was a lot of things to be done. So I'm on my laptop. I have an AirPod in. I'm filming TikToks, you know, but I was there. And there was a couple things that I took note of while I was there. One, the feeling of like, okay, I really love this girl because I would never do this. I played, quote unquote, air quotes, played softball in high school. When I say played, I was reserved, basically the team manager.
Right.
And
okay,
I was there
it.
To braid the girl's hair. You know what
right.
I mean?
Brazy, so, you bring the bats?
No, what? Literally.
What? The bats?
I will never forget. My coach for softball freshman year was a literal monster, sinister. And me and my friend, we weren't good enough to like be on the team, so he kept us as reserved. And one day we were late for a game, and he's like, girls, on the field, reserved, get their bags. I'm like hauling bags like a pack mule. Yeah, it was not great. So I have some trauma around softball. But I was there. I was supporting. But the one thing that I took note of was these parents are intense.
Oh, of course they are.
They give me the ick.
Because now, we're talking about college here. This isn't high school. This is a level
up. Oh, this isn't the peewee leagues, baby. This is the real deal. And granted, it's D3. It's not like it's like...
It's not that serious.
It's not that serious. But the girls are crushing it. Even though they were mercyed last night, but it's
not,
fine.
Not to downplay D3 or Division 3.
No, but I'm just saying, like, it is what it is. It's the modified of college. So I was there, and the opposing team, one of the moms, was passing out ice cream sandwiches.
Oh.
My interest is piqued. So I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like looking over, and she goes, I'll just say the team. She goes, Fisher fans only.
Fisher fans only. And this is the competition.
Like I'm like ripping her team sweatshirt off. I'm like,
this is the competition. Please tell me you got a Sammy.
I was dripping in there in the opposing team's gear. There's no way that she would have been able to.
Can you imagine if she looked back, you're behind home plate on your laptop eating an ice cream sandwich that the opposing team gave you?
Now I'm wearing their sweatshirt because I had to. No, it was crazy. But like, I don't know. Some of the parents, like, they're very into it. They kind of give me the ick. I don't know if I will ever be that parent when it comes to my kids' sporting events.
You never know. I mean, your mom was the type of person. Your mother would come and support you at your tennis matches, but be at the wrong court.
She was watching a different girl. My best friend Maddie's like, Bethy, are you looking for Breezy? She's like, yeah, she's crushing it. She goes, she's 10 courts over. But yeah.
I think it's awesome that you went
fan now.
And supported her.
Yeah. And like, I'm not going to lie. Like I was into it. Watching her coach, it did something to me. I was loving it. But
can you see yourself going to every home game?
Well, the season's over, so.
God. So you went to the last game just so you could say you put effort in. But in high school, you were braiding people's hair before the game. That's
no, fully.
And that's how Breezy's Braid Bar got started. That's how that all ended up. Wow. You're a good girlfriend, though.
I know.
I'm sure she appreciated it.
I'm trying my best.
Did you get lucky last night?
No. I was like, but I supported you. She's like, I'm exhausted. I'm like, perfect.
That's so tough.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy, 75 for the high today. We will take it. This morning, we're discussing what the etiquette is when it comes to first dates.
Yes.
How much communication is necessary before meeting for the very first time? Now, there are some people that love to share their whole life story before actually meeting with someone. But to me, I feel like that defeats the purpose of the first date.
Why are we getting together? This could be an email.
This could be an email. Yeah. And I do. I enjoy the banter and making somewhat of a connection beforehand. But I think some people overdo it.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example of a first date that I was supposed to go on. So I'm supposed to meet someone. There's small banter leading up to it. And it's good. It's all positive, right?
Like days, like hours, like a day. What was the timeline of the communication stretch?
Almost a week.
Okay.
I'd say total 5 days.
But like how many texts were sent back and forth? Maybe like 20?
That's hard to say. I'll tell you what happened was I gave a time, I gave a date, I gave a place. It was confirmed.
When and why?
I take care of all that. Right. It's confirmed. I'll meet you there. And then leading up the day before, there's small banter like, you hope you had a great day, stuff like that. Nothing serious.
That's all you need.
So I
How's your job?
So I get to the place where we're supposed to meet, and I'm hanging out at the bar. I'm supposed to meet at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
All of a sudden, 7:15 rolls around, and I send a quick text. Hey, I just want to let you know I'm here. This is my location. When you walk in, you'll be able to see me, no problem. Text me back 5-6 minutes later. Oh, I didn't know you were still interested. I hadn't heard from you all day. Now I'm like. So I reply with, I apologize for the miscommunication, but we were already confirmed for this date and time. If something came up, I would have absolutely let you know.
Did she need a carrier pigeon?
So she was like, I'm so sorry, but if you wouldn't mind waiting for me, I feel bad now. Do you mind waiting 45 minutes? I'm like, yeah, I kind of mind, to be quite honest. So I had my drink. I finished my drink in peace.
Idiot.
I had a lovely conversation with myself. It was just me and my thoughts.
You brought a mirror. You're like, you look great.
And, no, I did. I actually looked really good. And then I bounced. That was it. I'm like, how many confirmations does a person need?
What would have, I guess I don't understand that. If you had the time, you had the place, everything was all systems go.
Listen, I'm a man of my word. I said I was going to be there. I was there. You slipped.
Okay. I will say, though, because we've had scenarios where we've like talked about things in passing. For example, I had a happy hour 2 or 3 weeks ago. I invited you to. I said, come to happy hour with me. You said, yeah, I might swing by. So it wasn't like confirmed. And then I was pleasantly surprised when you showed up. You were just there. And I was like, oh, great. He did come.
2 minutes early.
2 minutes.
I'm a punctual guy.
2 minutes early
that. If I say 7, I'm walking in at 6:59. Let's go over to, let me get over to Jamie on hold. Hi, Jamie. Good morning.
Hi, Moose. Hi, Breezy. So I don't know how other women feel about it, but I was always one of those girls who felt the need to bomb a guy with text before we met for the first date.
Why is that?
Yeah. What?
I mean, if we're talking, why stop talking once the date is planned? Doesn't really make sense to me.
Well, here's the thing. So if you agree to meet for a date, but then you want to text a bunch before you meet, I don't get it. Why? Like save the conversation for the date.
Something for the imagination. What are you gonna have to talk about over a nice pan of scallops?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, okay. So yesterday someone anonymously wrote a post on, are we dating the same guy?
Oh.
Can I read this? Or will you guys get in trouble?
I don't.
We're not going to get in trouble. Okay, Maybe you will. I'm in listening's punching air right now.
Is this? Are you reading it verbatim?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like this.
Okay.
So she wrote.
Let it rip.
Thoughts and suggestions. If you have a date planned with someone for tomorrow night, who said they were really looking forward to it yesterday, but you haven't heard from them in almost 24 hours, what are you supposed to think? I'm a teacher who's rarely on my phone, but if you were trying to get to know someone, you'd think there'd be a little more communication. No.
Okay. So.
So I kind of agree with that, and some others won't, but I never understood why it was so difficult for men to talk and reach out before the date. Like,
because
is that normal?
Well, I think what also it is, like, Jamie, is that people are busy. They don't have time all day to text. When you set the date and you set the time, the most important part is that
you show up.
Is that you show up. If the guy sets the date and time and he's there, that's it. Green flag.
Also, I think you're overthinking it. I think a lot of women do overthink it because whether they have traumatic past experiences or they have an insecure attachment style. But like when I started dating my girlfriend, I wouldn't even text her and it made her mad. Like we were DMing for a minute and then she was like, here's my number. Text me. And I was like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I mean, there's just no need to be talking about anything and everything under the sun before you're face to face. I want to know and hear these stories with tone and diction and figure out like your cadence, because that proves to me or says to me whether or not you're into it or not.
Yeah, I've never been that guy. I'm the type of person where I will set the date, I will set the time, I will set the place. And there could be small banter leading up to that, but the 9 a.m. text, how are you, what's going on, all of that, you save it for the date. It's not that I'm not interested. I'm busy, and I'd rather get to know you in person than behind a screen.
Furthermore, I think that if they don't do that before and they do that after, that gives you an indication that the date went well.
Sure.
Because then you're like, oh, well, they did this before, so are they just doing it because this was our routine now?
Yeah, I get it, but I don't need a full conversation, but it would be nice to at least confirm. Like, I need a guy to ask me, hey, are we still on for later?
Why?
Cool if they were like, hey, what's up? How's your day? Anything. I just wish some men, not all, but some, were better with communication.
Well, okay. Did he confirm the date, time, and place?
Maybe the day before. Like,
so what's the problem? If something came up, don't you think he would let you know?
It's not just that. It's just good to know that they're thinking about you.
So it's not even about the confirmation. You just want a text in general.
You need the attention.
I mean, I like the attention. Yeah.
If I say I'm a man of my word, if I say I'm going to be somewhere, I'm going to be there. And if I'm not, I will let you know if something came up, if there was an emergency. But I've never really had to do that. That's it. If I say I'm going to be there, show
right,
up.
Right.
I'm just saying I like to keep the communication open.
I agree with what you're saying. I understand. But like I said, the most important part, I think, and maybe ladies listening, you can disagree if you want, but if he says he's going to be there and he actually shows up on that date, it says a lot about his character.
Now, I think
baseline.
I think after the first date, if there's no communication, that's when you can start hitting the panic button and be like, he's just not talked. You know, I'm not getting a text back. I'm not getting a text at all. That's when you start to be like, beforehand, you don't even know the person. Don't sweat it.
I just feel like some people who need the constant conversation before the date it's a red flag because they're not interesting. Do you not have enough to say in conversation on the date where you just have to constantly text beforehand?
Why? So you can like get inside jokes and stuff? Is that what you mean? Like to like kind of create banter so when you are together, you're like, remember we talked about that one thing?
No, in general, I feel like somebody who has to text a ton before the first date, They leave no room for conversation in person. Like, are you going to run out of things to say?
Right.
Are you going to run out of things to say? I'm not running out of things to say.
Yeah,
me?
I mean, could never be me.
Do you know what I do for a living? Of course not.
You would have to pay me to shut up.
But how many of you, 585-252-9800, how many of you listening feel like you need that confirmation more than once before the first date, or you need the banter leading up to the first date?
Honestly, Moose, I do think we're kind of in the minority for this. I just think that a lot of women have been burned in the past and they have a very severe anxious attachment style. And that's no fault of their own. But we
got a text from Lisa that says, I will not text before the first date because I'm scared of messing it up.
I can't even spell, so I want to avoid texting at all costs. I'll just let my personality shine, IRL. Thank you so much.
Well, I guess that's maybe just part of my personality that I like to have that constant communication, and I'm just looking for a guy who wants that too.
Yeah, and there's nothing.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that because there's a lot of men. I have friends that do that will text a ton and confirm more than two or three times before the first date. I've just never been one of those people. I'm just pretty confident that the date's going to go well. And when I set a time, date, and place, we're both going to be there and we're going to have fun.
Period.
Okay.
Thanks, Queen. Good luck.
All right.
I mean, I know you weren't the one who wrote it, but if you do go on a date soon, good luck.
It's tough out there in those streets, though, Jamie. So good luck out there.
Thanks.
Okay. Have a great day. Thanks for the call. All right. Let's get some of your messages coming in.
Okay. Yes. People have a lot to say about this. This person says, you are not in the minority. I agree with you two. People these days are way too needy. We all have things going on, and it's not my job to comfort this random stranger and their anxieties.
I mean, that's, yeah, well, okay, well said. Ashley says, guys, I agree. I stop or definitely cut back after setting up a date because I feel it can be easy to create this made up perfect version of someone in your head through text only, especially when you've never met them in person at all. I agree, Ashley, because then when you get there and you finally get a chance to know them, you could be disappointed.
Correct. You are not what you portrayed yourself to be over text. You're way funnier over text. You're way cooler over text. You're better looking over text. You're better at flirting. This person says, I hate the good morning text and the texting throughout the day. I'm a woman. I'm busy. I don't have time for small talk all day, nor do I want to. We'll catch up later.
That's right. Can I tell you what kind of gave me the, I don't want to say the ick, but it was a little cringy. Before I went out with somebody one time, they started calling me babe. And I was like, oh, no, don't do that. I'm nobody's babe. That is not a word. That is not a cute little nickname you throw around just for anybody, especially an individual you haven't met yet. You start calling someone babe? What?
Never even met you.
We haven't even met. You can't call me that. Brian says, I agree. Moose and Breezy, I am the same way. I've always been a guy who doesn't do the text thing before the first date. And with some women, I've gotten a lot of backlash for it. I just don't think it's needed. Who's this person? Julie says, so if you agree to meet for a date, what's the big deal of just communicating beforehand? Hey, are we on for tonight? Well, what, why?
But they could also, if they're confused, I think what it comes down to, and Jamie didn't say this, but I'll say it because everyone else is thinking it. You want to feel important. You want to be courted. You want to be like thought of, and everybody wants that. Okay. But like, if we as women are going to sit here and be like, we can do anything a man can do, you can also text on like before to confirm. I'm sorry, but you can. If you're confused or you're worried that you're going to find yourself in a situation that you found yourself in where you're just sitting there holding a drink in your hand with nobody coming around to you, text and confirm and make sure.
I had a great time. I just want to put it out there.
He goes, honestly, best date I've ever been on. It's crazy to like think back to where we were 5 years ago. 5 years ago today, we were all hyperventilating because we had been in lockdown for already a month, which That's is right. crazy.
Right?
2020. And
we were all drunk. That's the
we
start
were all
of COVID.
On Zoom, drunk. Everyone's like, I'm going to get in the best shape of my life.
No, you're not.
Literally sat on the couch for 3 months straight.
Was drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon by the case.
When they were like, the world's shutting down, I'm like, I gotta buy a spin bike and a treadmill and all this stuff. Yeah, I didn't do anything. Anyways, but another thing that happened in the midst of COVID-19 and everything was New York State's ban on plastic bags. That went into effect to address the environmental impacts that plastic waste has on our earth, with Earth Day being a couple days ago. We cleaned up a lot of, not plastic bags because we don't have them, we haven't had them for 5 years, but we had like tarps and weird plastic rolling around that we were trying to.
I've never seen so many Wendy cups in my life. Where's all this Wendy's coming from?
It was crazy. But before the ban, an estimate of 23 million plastic bags were used every single year, all ending up in landfill, recycling machines, waterways, streets, etc. And honestly, we all hate something until we're used to it. It's been 5 years now. We don't really know any different. And I honestly audibly gasp when I am in a different state and I see a plastic bag because I'm like, oh, I'm judging them. I'm judging that state.
Of course.
I am, because honestly, you hate the planet and it shows. And New York is superior when it comes to keeping our planet safe and doing our part.
The state does do the best to its ability to try and make sure, you know, we're ahead of the curve. But I will say, I got a bone to pick with Wegmans, man. And you know, I love Wegmans. I was there yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm glad they got rid of the plastic bags. But how hard is it to attach a paper handle onto your paper bags. Trader Joe's, they do it.
You are so right.
Why can't you just spend the extra cent? I don't know how much it costs.
I just don't know why.
To just add a handle.
Paper bags don't have handles in general. Because honestly, the only thing that is a pain in the ass with the paper bags is there's no proper way to transport it. It's so awkward. I look like I'm like lugging hay. I have it in between my arms. I'm waddling to my car. And I guess we're all adjusted by now. But if we were to make a slight tweak, is follow the model that is Trader Joe's. They've always done paper. They've always done handles.
They don't even ask you if you want to double bag it. They just automatically double bag it. I had at least 7 pounds of groceries from Wegmans yesterday. She didn't double bag it.
Trader Joe's is superior. Well, no, because you're paying for it. That's the other thing.
I'll give you an extra dime. That's fine. I got no problem with that. But put a handle on the damn bag.
And also, not for nothing, but I'm the worst. The literal worst when it comes to remembering to bring my reusable bags in. I can't even charge my phone. You think I can bring a bag in from my trunk?
Yeah, but...
And we have a lot.
But. You know, Earth Day on Tuesday, was it?
Yep.
Put a whole lot into perspective. Myself, Breezy, and our coworkers cleaning up the trash onto the side of the road.
Right.
And if you are a person who is white trash, like the woman the other day who decided, I'm just going to throw all my McDonald's trash out onto the street at a red light. If you're one of those people, do better.
What did I say in the video? Kick rocks with an open toe shoe. Because it makes me angry. But I will give New York its kudos. I mean, although they are taking all of our money in taxes, I'm glad that they're putting forth the effort to make sure that the planet is clean on this side of the country. So cheers to you. And 5 years is nothing to wave a stick at. We made it. We did it.
Yeah,
we're adjusted.
So until COVID-20 hits. How many of you make a honey-do list for your significant other so they can complete all their chores before you get home? Breezy shared with myself yesterday that her girlfriend sends her one every single day.
Every day.
And you will not believe one of the things that is on the list.
Guys, is this weird or is this extremely helpful? We'll find out coming up next.
It's the list everyone hates waking up to. The list your significant other leaves you, and your job is to make sure every single item is checked off by the time they get home. Otherwise, there will be consequences.
Dare I say hell to pay?
There will be hell to pay. Speaks by Mornings, Moose, Breezy. Anyone else receive a honey-do list every day from their loved one? How annoying is that?
I always was under the impression that the honey-do list was only for men, only for husbands, and it was for when your wife was going to be gone for a significant amount of time, or it was a weekend and there was a built-in time for a project to take place. Or maybe a rolling list of, like, the garage needs to be cleaned.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
The lawn needs to be mowed.
I can't imagine working 50, 60 hours a week, and then your wife is demanding, you got to make sure this weekend on your time off that the garage is perfectly clean along with the attic in the basement. What? But when you're type A like me, you never have to clean a thing because everything's neaty and tidy and in order.
Right. So the honey-do list, okay, let's get back into it. We touched on it like a couple weeks ago, and I kind of said in passing that my girlfriend, Patrice, every single day will schedule a text to fire out of a honey-do list for me to do. This normally consists of like anywhere from 2 to 5 things.
Every day.
Every day.
So there's always something that needs to be done.
There's always something that needs to be done.
Okay.
And for me and my personality, and I don't know if anybody else is like this, but I hate being told what to do. There's one thing in this world I hate, it's that. But I'm at a crossroads because I also love a list.
We know.
I love a list.
I think it's the dopamine fix for you.
It's the writing it out. It's the looking at how much you have. It's like climbing a mountain. It's the crossing it off. It's all like, it's a huge rush for me.
I have friends who make lists. They'll forget to put an item on there, and they'll do it. Then they'll go back to the list, add that item just so they can cross it off. I'm like, you're sick.
That's literally me. So I'm.
Does she ever when she makes these lists for you? Does she ever start them with please or thank you?
Oh, it's always like good morning, sweetheart.
All that, yeah.
Love you so much. Here's your honey-do list for the day.
And it's on paper or digital?
It's all digital.
It's all digital.
It's getting fired out. It's being scheduled. They're all scheduled. Like, I didn't even know that was a feature on the iPhone. I think it's a newer feature. You can schedule out a text message. So, pro tip, if it's somebody's birthday coming up and you know you're going to forget, schedule out that happy birthday text ahead of time.
Hello, PXY.
Hi, it's Breezy's girlfriend.
Hi, Patrice.
Hey.
So you, every single morning, let's get right into it. You make a honey-do list for Breezy, and you leave it on the counter for her, so when she gets home, all the stuff on the list needs to be completed?
No.
So kind of, but it's digital. So I don't know if you know this, but I just learned about this. You can, like, set a text so it delivers, like, later.
A scheduled text.
Thank you. Yeah.
Is that for the iPhone 16?
That's what I have.
Oh, it is. Okay, we don't have that.
Yeah.
I think it's like a software
update. It might be an update, like an iOS update.
I won't update my phone, though, because I refuse. But anyways.
Okay.
So you schedule the text to come in.
Yes. Every night I'll ask her what her day looks like for the next day, and I will schedule a text for around, like, 1 o'clock when she's, you know, usually scheduled to be home after work and working out.
When she's usually rotting in bed.
Yes, when she thinks she's going to be rotting in bed. They are very simple tasks. It's like showering, putting your clothes away.
Wait, time out. You have to tell Breezy to shower. That's on her to-do list? You're joking.
Sometimes it is.
You're joking.
It is sometimes.
We already know. Are you not embarrassed?
Hey, are you not embarrassed?
Not even remotely.
What else is on the list?
So, like, today's list includes picking up the dog, feeding the dog, and then emptying the dishwasher. Simple. Very simple. I'm not asking her to rebuild our whole apartment.
Oh, my God. I'm being worked to the bone.
Here's what I don't get, okay? And maybe I'm totally different here, but when you know and see that something needs to be done, why do you have to be told? Why don't you just do it?
Right.
Well, all of those things are out of my line of sight. I don't know where the dog is. I don't open the dishwasher.
Wait a second. Patrice, you want to have a baby with this person? Come on.
We're still figuring that out.
When are you going to get it through your thick skull that you and I belong together?
I've gotten it. We got to talk to Breezy. I understand.
Both are sinister.
It's so weird. And I understand why some women get pissed off at their husbands, because this is the most basic stuff. And
yes.
Patrice thought she was a lesbian, but she is a full-fledged heterosexual with a husband, a lazy husband at that.
That's
Breezy is my deadbeat boyfriend.
I think it's more of my OCD and being type A, where I take care of everything right away, because if I start to worry about it later, because I'm the type of guy where I work now and play later, because if not, I'm worrying about it, I'm thinking about it, and I'm not enjoying myself.
As annoying as the lists are, I will say they do give me a sense of purpose.
We're very happy for you that you can contribute in your relationship.
But honestly, yes, like, it works for us, and I know a lot of people.
But you have to be told to shower.
Yeah. But, like, I am a very much so, like, reward-based person. So, like, when I come home and I get a pat on the head from Patrice, and I'm like, I did my list.
That's a different self.
Everything's done.
She's not patting you on the head. She's feeding you espresso martinis.
That is true. She promises to take me out on dates if I complete. Nothing makes me more happy and just geared up than crossing things off a list. It really keeps me motivated. So yeah, it works for us, and I do think it's annoying, but she's right. It needs to be done, and I don't know what needs to be done. My eyes are closed the majority of the time.
Kind of like when you do the show.
Period.
Patrice,
exactly.
Real quick, if there's one thing about Breezy, because I know how much you two love each other, and that makes me happy, but if there's one thing about this relationship or her you could change, what would it be?
The drama.
Oh, yeah. Enough said. Breezy's girlfriend, everyone. All right, thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming.
585-252-9800. How many of you listening also give your spouse or significant other the honey-do list? Patrice, I'll see you soon, okay?
See you. Love you both.
And
bye.
Breezy, by the way, Breezy doesn't have to be there. I just want you to know that.
Oh, my God.
Perfect. Text me. See you later.
Bye. All right.
This person says, dang, Breezy, lazy, and unclean. Imagine needing a reward to have good hygiene. No need to imagine, sweetie. This is my reality. No need to imagine.
Well said. That's why she's. That's why you got to constantly wash the bed sheets because you stink. Marcus says, good morning, guys. I'm laughing so hard this morning. My honey-do list includes the level of quality my spouse expects for each item. Vacuum house, 75%. Clean oven, only 50%. Take out the trash, 100%. Who's this person? Goodness. Moose, the reason why some people have to make their spouse a honey-do list is because not everyone is type A like you.
Right. I have
so
ADHD.
If you ever get married to someone similar to Breezy, you better believe you will be making this list left and right. I don't know.
That was the funniest joke all morning.
It sure was.
Just when you think you've got life figured out. You're a parent now. Moose and Breezy hear your dilemmas. Completely anonymous. And 100% supportive for another episode of PXY Mornings. Parental Confidential.
Parents, the question is this morning, how do you handle toddler meltdowns in public? That's got to be tough. And I feel like this is incredibly relatable. Mm-hmm. It, maybe you haven't dealt with this yourself or you don't have kids, but you've seen parents in public deal with this. It's painful.
It's really hard to watch. But it's like a car accident. You can't look away.
I've seen it dozens of times take place on an airplane. Can't do anything.
Yeah. You're trapped in a metal tube floating in the sky.
Here's the message from our listener, Jacqueline, this morning. Good morning, Moose and Breezy. I have a pretty relatable topic for Parental Confidential. I'm a parent to a very spirited three-year-old who has recently mastered the art of public meltdowns. Whether we are at the grocery store, a park, or even a family gathering, the slightest no can turn into a full-on tantrum. Now, I've tried staying calm. I'm offering choices and distracting my child with toys or snacks, but sometimes nothing works whatsoever. The stares from strangers make it even harder to keep my cool. And the other day when we were leaving Wegmans, my child had a meltdown because all he wanted to do was play with a box of Advil that I was going to buy, and I gave it to the cashier instead of him. Mm. He screamed bloody murder until we left, and it was just awful. How do your parents handle these moments? Thanks so much. 585-252-9800.
I mean, we're not parents, but I think my biggest piece of advice is pick and choose your battles. But also, like, don't give in at any sign of struggle, because then they just end up being spoiled brats.
It's terrible. The other Sunday, I was in church. Child had a meltdown, which that will happen. Mm. But the child had the meltdown when the pastor was speaking and delivering this, like, really intense message, and the parents didn't do anything. They let the kid cry. Now, wouldn't that typically be a situation where you would remove the child out of respect for the person speaking, along with all the people that attended Mass?
Yeah.
I would think so.
I mean, I understand when you say don't engage, but in this situation, you should have probably engaged.
Probably. Yeah. I would probably engage slightly. Yes.
I don't know about you guys, but when I had meltdowns as a kid, that was it. My father did not play. He grabbed me. He let me have it.
Dramatic now. Oof. I had a meltdown when I had the chicken pox, and my mom told me, I mean, I don't remember. I have no recollection, but my mom told me that I was throwing my body on the ground and ripping the carpet out with my teeth.
Oh,
with
you are
your teeth.
You're munching on the carpet, huh? Let's go over to that. Let's see if we can offer Jacqueline some help here this morning. Let's go over to Meg that's weighing in. Appreciate any help on this one, you guys. Meg says, regardless of what I'm doing, I will take my kid and march him straight to the car and go home. I once left a grocery cart full of items because my six-year-old wanted to have a meltdown because I wouldn't buy her Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oof.
Yeah, that's tough.
That is tough.
I have seen parents leave a grocery cart full. That's their food for the week. They were done. And just to prove a point, they left.
They'll come back for it later when they need it.
Wait.
Not if helping hands gets to it first.
Did I tell you guys, this is so off topic and I want to keep it on the rails, but I was in Walmart the other day and I caught this woman stealing. Well, she got caught stealing and she paid for like half of the groceries and someone went up and was like, hey, can I see your receipt? She's like, yeah, I have to go grab a prescription at the pharmacy super quick. Bolted, never came back, left the item she paid for. She was going to get arrested for stealing.
Kid was still in the car. Left everything. Don't engage. This person says in all caps, do not engage. Let them cry. And if other people have a problem with it, too bad. I feel like other parents are going to understand, though. I think, and listen, when I bring up kids crying on an airplane, yes, it's extremely annoying. But the people that roll their eyes, it's like, what do you want them to do? What do you want them to do?
There's only so much that can be done.
You know, we're 25,000 feet up.
Right.
Chrissy says, I find what helps me the most is eliminating my anxiety. People are watching. People are thinking I'm a bad parent. But by locking eyes with the nearest person and saying confidently, with a smile, he's a professional paid actor to make others feel better about their kids. Sometimes people laugh at that because they get it. But it helps me approach this situation more calmly.
Not you lying to the people in the grocery store.
I think that's a great approach.
Oh, my God. Wait, that's actually kind of funny.
You're making a joke.
Yeah,
you know,
that's actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
You're trying to put out a fire here. Audrey says, ignore, ignore, ignore. And if that doesn't work, leave the store. But that rarely happens. Don't feed into their toddler BS. Ignore the stranger staring. Most of them understand anyways.
This person says, have you had your child checked for autism, etc.? Autism mom here. And my daughter used to have full-blown meltdowns when she was younger, to the point where she was self-harming. Mm-hmm. It was hard to deal with the tantrums, but once we actually figured out what was going on, it made it a little bit easier. This person writes, I have dropped everything I've had in the grocery cart and left the store and made my kid calm down, and then we would re-enter when my kid was ready.
What happened to my groceries? They took it. They put everything back. Sometimes it just is worth the money to do Instacart. You know what I mean?
No. Actually, though. I mean, I've never done it. I'm too cheap. But, like, I heard it's worth it.
Speaking of self-harming.
Oh.
Oh?
Not the segue. Yes.
Speaking of self-harming, when I was a kid, when I had my meltdowns,
yeah,
I would inflict bane onto myself. So I'd go into my bedroom, I'd close the door, and I'd bash my head up against the wall repeatedly.
That makes so much sense.
Now everything's clicking.
For us, not him.
Not to mention...
Wait, never. It'll never.
Not to mention the time my father accidentally threw me up into a ceiling fan that was on. Let's go over this person. One of my kids tried one time while we were grocery shopping. One time. And my husband took her out to the car, made her sit, strapped in her car seat until she stopped. She was either 3 or 4 at the time, and she never did it again. None of my other kids have ever really thrown tantrums either, but they all tried at least once. I would immediately remove the child and leave wherever we were if they did this. Where are the parents that beat their kids? Where? I don't see them texting.
No, they're silent.
No, they're not silent. Listening to this.
They know CPS Liz is a fan.
Yeah, CPS Liz listening.
This person says, not a parent, however, I do recall being a bad kid and my mom getting down to my level, looking me dead in the eyes and calmly saying, do you want to go home? And I was like, no. So I shut up and I behaved. So.
Yeah, because some of these kids, you can't just sit there and talk calmly to them. That doesn't always work.
Well, it's like, are my gentle parenting parents at?
This is them. They're texting in right now. We're reading their messages. Hi, guys. I just wanted to recommend two books really quick that are lifesavers. Tell That Woman to Purchase Tiny Humans, Big Emotions. Also, The Explosive Child, but make sure she gets the 6th edition. They're both extremely helpful. That came in from Rachel from Irondequoit. That's helpful. Yeah, thank you. Those are on Amazon. You can grab those. Sometimes reading does help. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, this is actually a good suggestion. I mean, when you think about it, most grocery stores are very overstimulating. So maybe that child just can't handle that much stimulation. I've seen kids in the grocery store wearing noise-canceling headphones, and they do help.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's a good idea, too.
That's literally just me walking around with my AirPod Pro Maxes. So,
And everybody's going to parent differently. It depends. But Jacqueline, I would grab those two books. Tiny Humans, Big Emotions, and The Explosive Child, the sixth edition.
Not the sixth edition.
You got to get the sixth edition. Thanks for the messages this morning, guys. We'll do another parental coming up tomorrow morning on PXY. It's PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. I'm not going to even try and convince people that I'm an awesome swimmer because I am 100% not. Have I always wanted to be a good swimmer? Yes. Can I do it now? No. Why? Because my stamina.
Those shoulders aren't broad enough, bro.
Well,
I'm so sorry.
I guess so. Yesterday, I was walking up the steps with groceries, and I was absolutely gassed, Joe.
That's unfortunate.
Absolutely,
dude.
Gassed. So if you're looking for a job this summer, both Monroe County and Ontario County needs lifeguards at the local pools, the beaches. I obviously...
Are you ready to come out of retirement, Joe?
Oh,
because I told you, I'm gassed. I can't do it.
I know.
We need people.
It can't be us. I mean, there's one person on this show that needs to step up, and if I were to put money on any of us, it'd be you.
Yeah, I mean, I did swim in college for 3 years, and I was a lifeguard for two of those years.
We need
you. You were a lifeguard?
Yeah.
Save our city.
I was so jealous. Some of my buddies in high school all got full rides to UB for swimming. Full scholarships.
Yeah, they don't even do men's swimming anymore at UB.
See,
sounds like your friends really thrived over there.
Well, they, you know,
the program shut down.
It was a little while back. So here's the deal too. Ontario County is going to use the funds for a New York State program that's going to allow teens and young adults to get reimbursed for the cost of lifeguard certification and training. I looked it up. It's typically $285 to get certified. You're going to get that money back. If you need to get recertified, it's $185. Do you remember what you paid as a lifeguard?
I paid nothing because I worked at the YMCA and they were like, hey, lifeguards.
Let me ask you something.
Would you like to be a lifeguard? We'll waive your fee.
When you were down at the other station before you got here this morning, we were talking about this and we were asking the question, you know, for the most part, Moose said it's like a pretty chill job.
It's kind of chill.
Right. You're tanning, you're listening to music, all the things.
Yeah.
How many times did you have to take life-saving measures on someone while you were lifeguarding?
Twice in 2 years.
Once a year? That's nothing.
No, it was actually twice in one summer.
Really?
What happened? Yeah. They were literally drowning?
Well, yeah, kind of. Well, one time it was a kid didn't know how to swim during the swim test, and I was like, well, now I actually have to jump in and save you. Oh,
this was a pool. This wasn't the lake.
The first one was, well, the kid is in way over their head, eight foot deep. All right. Lifeguard Joe jumps into action.
You're like playing words with friends. You're like, come on, Johnny. All right.
And then the second time, a little girl was in the lake and then jumped in and landed on another kid.
Oh, geez.
And so
the kid that got landed on popped up just fine. The girl who landed on her, like, because it was two little girls, and she cut her leg wide open.
So you had to run in.
I had to jump in, pull her out, and then carry her to a place where I could administer first aid.
You're low-key a hero.
When you jumped in, did you do it with your shirt on or shirt off?
Which time?
Anytime.
The one that was indoors, my shirt was on. The one that was outdoors, my shirt was off.
Okay, got it. So the goal here, guys. the goal here. Well, I was telling Breezy this morning, if I was ever going to be a lifeguard, I'm running in with my shirt on because I'm self-conscious. But I think the goal here is to help fill lifeguard positions across the county and just to kind of help teens and young adults be able to take advantage of a lot of the openings by eliminating the cost, because there's a lot of people who are like, I can't afford the $285.
Right.
You know, that's required for the training and the certification. But I think one thing, too, I'm always going to be envious about when it comes to swimmers is just how incredibly ripped they've always been. I mean, look at Michael Phelps. Guy was eating 10,000 calories a day. He was abs of steel. If I can
Those
have one app,
broad.
I'll take one app. Give me one app. That's all. I'm not asking for a lot here.
Moose, if you need swim lessons, I can teach you.
It's not about that.
Oh, my God. After the show? After hours?
So generous of you. Guys, imagine clocking out after a long shift only to unroll a sleeping bag between the very machines you just powered down.
I'm not.
thinking about this gives me nothing but anxiety. I would never want to sleep at the radio station, even if it saved me a 45-minute commute. And then I started thinking about an experiment to see how well this would play out. I'll share it with you and what we're doing coming
Joe,
up next.
Get your sleeping bag ready.
PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy, if there is one thing I would absolutely hate to have to do, it's sleep where I work.
Oof.
And I'm not talking about what nurses do, where they just put in a 36-hour shift so they go in the cleaning closet and take a nap. I don't think
that's a very important job.
I don't think that situation is strange. I get that. You know, you got to rest up when you're saving lives. But hear me out for 1 second, because I can't be alone on this. So my friend's apartment manager decided that she's going to move into the building that she works at. So now this woman is neighbors with my friend. So now she's working there 12 hours a day. And then the other 12, she's sleeping and doing whatever else.
That's exactly how my apartment complex is too. There's like a building in the center where all the maintenance people live. It's so weird.
Oh yeah, so this is every day, all day now. And I'm like, I don't care if it saved me 45 minutes off my commute. I couldn't sleep at the radio station. Could you?
No.
Could you?
I mean, there's like mice in here, so no.
Wow, that was a one-time occurrence. But think about how many of you work a remote job from home. And I started thinking about this. Like, you're in the same spot all day in your home or apartment, but some of you have a 3-bedroom house with an extra office. What about the people that work all day from home in their studio and their desk is next to their bed?
Didn't you used to do this back in the day when you had like club nights and stuff?
It was,
but you were also like 20.
Well, so. I came, but I'm not like, I wasn't living here.
Staying here.
I come in early and sleep under the table in the conference room. And then Sandy Waters would come and wake me up before we went on.
Get up.
Right.
It was terrible.
She'd kick you.
Moose, get off the floor.
So I started thinking about this, and I was talking to our engineer, Dylan, about this yesterday.
Okay.
And Dylan goes, yeah, easy. I said, you think spending the night at the radio station would be easy? He goes, yeah, I could probably do it for a couple nights.
I said, seriously?
So I said, care to experiment? So he said he would get back to me. But I decided I'm going to get him on the phone this morning. Dylan, are you with us?
I'm here.
All right. Dylan.
Dylan.
Dylan, good morning.
Lovely engineer, Dylan. He keeps the show on the air.
Dylan, good morning. Are you open to doing an experiment for Breezy, myself, and intern Joe?
I am absolutely open to it.
Okay. I'm not going to ask Derek because he and I had beef.
No.
Yeah. We had beef a couple of years back. So he's not going to come through for me. But we want to know, would you be willing to spend the night at the radio station and then report back to us tomorrow morning? And if that goes well, just spend the weekend and then report back to us again on Monday morning with a full update.
Yeah, I mean, fun facts. I already have a cot in the basement.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Right now. And you go look at our cage. There's a cot down there already.
The cage is crazy.
You have a cot in the basement of the radio station.
For what reason, sir?
It's mine and Derek's cot. Well, you guys know, I mean, part of this job sometimes is us being here from 1 in the morning until 9 a.m. and then coming to support you guys. So
Wait. Time out. You said you and Derek, you guys share a cot? Is it queen size?
We've never shared the cot. Let's be very clear.
Wait a second. I need to know this too.
Wait, I want to go see the cot.
Because
so
you have a wife and kids, correct?
I have a wife, no kiddos. But okay. A wife for sure.
You don't have kids?
No chitlins on my end.
Oh, dude, I thought you. I honestly, I'm not gonna lie. You give off kind of an Amish vibe. I thought you had like 7 kids at home.
Amish vibe, you know, Moose. I've never heard that one before, especially as a man who loves technology. I'm gonna keep that one in my back pocket.
This man literally walks around with his earbud in all the time,
all day.
And Moose is like Amish.
Yeah.
You think he's barebacking a horse to the transmitter site? Like what?
How many of you have to sleep at your job? Because sleeping at work, like, just think about that for a second. All right, you just clock out. And now the two machines that you just had to power down, you're rolling a sleeping bag between them and like, all right, until tomorrow.
But Moose, I mean, like, you're not, I mean, it's a little different because you're in the comfort of your own home, but this isn't that much different than people who actually work from home. They don't get a chance to leave. They're there.
Yeah, I need that separation of work and home.
Church and state.
Yeah.
I know. I guess, I mean, I suppose you're right. I guess for some people, it's not that strange, but where's the divide? Like, Dylan, what are you going to tell your wife?
And your fake kids.
My fake kids, fortunately for me, I've been in the tech industry for a long time, mm-hmm. and she has dealt with the fact that I've done many, many overnights where I've been awake the whole time. fortunately for her, I can just say, hey, I'm doing something for one of my shows, and she'll be like, all right, I guess I'll whip you up a Lunchable, send you with some snacks and some soda, and send you on your way.
We love a charcuterie.
So it would be basically,
wipe her up. You already did.
Yeah. So basically, it would be super easy for you to cheat on her.
No, absolutely not.
But that's
morally, no. Timeline, yes.
I'm not hating on your wifey. I think it's great that she takes care of you, but I think she could do a little bit better than a Lunchable. But if that's your thing, that's your thing.
If your wife really loves you, she'll sleep on the cot with you downstairs.
I do think if I asked, she would do that. But I will, first off, the Lunchable's my choice. She spoils me. I'm absolutely going to FaceTime my wife the whole time.
All right, here's what I want you to do. So tonight when you spend the night at the radio station, I want like a log of everything you did, what time you got tucked in the cot in the basement, what time you wake up, and then you're going to report back to us at the same exact time tomorrow morning.
All right. Let me share the one piece I'm nervous about, something we never really talk about. So we have cameras in the studio to make sure everything's secure. We're in a very old Rochester building. Occasionally those cameras just go off and there's nothing there. 3 a.m, camera just goes off.
Wasn't there a Ghostbusters thing here?
Yeah, we did a ghost hunt here a couple years ago for Halloween, and things were heard and felt and found, and it is, I don't envy you when it comes to that part. I would not want to sleep here, especially in the basement. It's the creepiest place in the building.
I've done overnight shifts here very early on in my career, and there I heard some things. It was spooky, I will tell you that.
All right, Dylan. Well, thank you so much
for
your contribution. If your wife needs company or help, we're all of us. We can go.
We'll go over. We'll cook up some Lunchables. No skin off my back.
Heck yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for being a team player. We'll talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place.
Sounds great. See you guys.
All right. I like that guy. See, Derek. Derek's a pain in my ass, but
he wouldn't even answer your phone call.
Want to clear the air? Need to get something off your chest? Go on, try it. You want to feel the heat as it comes out of your mouth. I regret moving in with my lazy, unemployed boyfriend. No one cares that your kid made the honor roll. I, for the life of me, can't believe Odyssey Management gave these two clowns their own show. There. I said it. Now, doesn't that feel better? BXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy present There I Said It on the number one hit music station, 98 BXY.
You got a hot take this morning? Let it rip. 585-252-9800. It's everyone's favorite segment, There I Said It.
Woo.
All right, Breezy, this has been weighing on you since 2 p.m. yesterday.
I can't. I'm so angry. If you are smoking a cigarette around people who are working out, you need jail time. There, I said it.
Where were you? What gym allows smoking?
I was running and I came across like three people who were smoking on the side of the road. If you see me running towards you, you better make way because I'm bettering myself and you're killing yourself.
Yeah, that's...
There, I said it.
Yeah, okay.
Why am I breathing in your secondhand smoke while I'm trying to better myself,
Joe,
and my body?
I see the looks on your face. Thoughts?
You can't expect people to move, Breeze. Sorry, but...
You're killing me.
They're outside in public.
I already can't breathe, and now I have smoke in my lungs? No.
They were there first.
Bulldoze you. Fine, I'll change it. I'll bulldoze you. There, I said it.
If you want to sit outside on a beautiful sunny day and enjoy a nice filtered Camel, by all means, I got nothing against
that. Disgusting.
I mean,
Camel Crush.
Do whatever, man.
Me keeling over on the trail because you're toking up, not for me. There I said it. There I said
Let's go over Victor. Screw John Mayer. There I said
Why
it.
Why does everybody hate John Mayer? What is the problem?
I thought he passed away 3 years ago.
What? He's like 30.
No, he's older than that. But when was the last time you heard of John Mayer?
He's crushing it. He does a lot.
Wait, where?
I think he's at Coachella.
I miss him.
I'm probably making that up.
I don't know. John Mayer is 47, by the way.
Right. Yeah, I'm like, he's 12.
You know, when I met him in person backstage, he got offended because he asked me what my name was. And I was like, oh, it's Moose. And he goes, no, come on, man. Your name isn't Moose. That's like asking someone and they're saying, yeah, my name's Tornado. Oh, your name's Tornado? What's your real name? I'm like, dude, chill. What's your problem?
Chill.
Yeah, what are you on? Oh, let's go over to our boy Ross. Some of you are pretty weak and it shows. Stop accepting forgiveness. The only thing you're doing is enabling them. Also, happy birthday to my wife, Robin, today. Oh, okay. It's your birthday. Go, Robin. Go, Robin. It's your birthday. Go, Robin. Enough of that.
Yikes. Enough of that. Joe?
It's okay to break up with people who you don't have the same values as. Big Red and I were talking yesterday about how...
Oh, that's it. It's over with.
No.
It's all over with. I'm so sorry,
about
dude.
About how we broke up with our exes because they didn't share the same values as us.
Name me some of those values.
Yeah.
Well, like, I'm Christian and my ex was not.
Okay.
Same with Big Red and her ex. And, like, these were, like, big deal breakers for us. And so we're no longer with those people.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And... She and I, we talked about it, and we were like, man, I'm glad our values line up.
And that's a big deal, man. And, you know, I'm Christian, too, but one of the things that affected me a little bit was the person that I was seeing just was not, you know, it wasn't a big deal for them. And for me, I just, it would have been nice to share that with someone,
right.
You know, that also had that faith.
Okay, chill. Guys, people can, like, convert. You know this, right?
Oh, my ex wouldn't, nor would hers. So it was like it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
You're not made for everyone.
No, that's 100% true. Good morning. I heard you guys talking about the banning of plastic bags this morning, and the paper bags just don't cut it. You use twice the paper when you have to double bag it. Bring back plastic bags. There, I said it. Bring back the plastic bags. I think we're so good on that.
We're so good. Thank you.
You know what we should bring back? Maybe it's a hot take, but can we please bring back How to Catch a Predator? And I'm not saying these people belong on the streets. I'm not, by all means, but Chris Hansen on Dateline was the man. He caught the same guy once, twice, a few months apart from each other.
Wow.
And I loved the hospitality on the show. Sit down. Have some lemonade.
Have a cracker or two.
Some cookies. Now that's TV. None of these stupid medical shows like Rescue 911. We want more To Catch a Predator episodes. There, I said it.
My issue is people are doing
like
it on the internet.
That says something about you, to be honest.
What?
I feel like that says something about you, that you want that.
It was the most entertaining TV someone can watch.
We can make our own show. With the amount of sexual harassment allegations we see pour out the news, we can just go do the hard-hitting stuff ourselves.
I'll be Chris Hansen.
We can bust out those journalism degrees.
Wait. Do your voice that I love. What's your voice.
Which voice?
What happened?
Oh, Keith Morrison on Dateline NBC? Yeah. It was a cold, chilly day in Rochester, New York. Let's go over to Krista. I love Keith Morrison. That guy's got one foot in the body bag. Let's go over to Krista that says, can we low-key start normalizing wearing our bathrobes in public?
We need to
worry more about being comfortable rather than what people think. There, I said it. Honestly, right. I've always looked at bathrobes as giving up clothes.
It's
wearing a bathrobe to the grocery store screams, I hate my wife, I hate my job, I hate my kids.
I don't know. I hosted that pajama party last week and everyone was in their PJs, their robes, and we were absolutely having a blast.
Because it was 50 women and you all look cute, glammed up. Tell that to the overweight guy at Wegmans in aisle 6 with a gut hanging out with slippers and it's just his robe that's slightly open.
Oh,
What are you looking at me for?
Well, sir, your genitals are hanging out. Just thought I'd bring it to your attention. Do you have one? Oh, you already did.
I already did mine.
Yep.
You did one.
For sure.
I don't think it's a hot take, though, Joe. I mean, is it a hot take?
Well, I feel like some people don't. They put their own values aside to stay in a relationship that's comfortable for them.
Yeah.
And like us not having aligning values is reason enough for me to say, I'll never see you again. That's why my girlfriend and I are getting married, because we agree on everything.
And you're getting married too?
I mean, maybe.
What am I supposed to do?
You can like.
We can help you find someone.
What am I going to do?
Can you be the ring bearer?
God, we were supposed to be a team, and now all of that is ruined.
Well, find your wife. I don't know.
Let's find a wife for Moose.
I'm okay. PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy, intern Joe. Let's talk about tram stamps for a second, because the rumor is they're making their big debut, and that scares the hell out of me.
They're making their comeback, because what? They were popular, in like the early 90s?
No,
late 90s, early 1000s.
Okay, like Y2K. Early Y2K. A couple girls
senior year of high school went away for spring break, Myrtle Beach, came back with tram stamps.
So,
and they were hot, but they're probably regretting it now, you know what I mean?
Well, not so fast, because there is something buzzing around the Gen Z culture.
Oh, no.
That tram stamps are now trendy again, and these quote unquote trashy tattoos are now a form of empowerment when it comes to the Gen Z culture, which I don't.
Who told them that?
They told themselves.
They make up their own rules, which is hilarious. Listen, do you have any tattoos?
I do.
He's got tattoos. Show them.
They are under my shirt.
Let me see.
Oh my!
I'm not taking my shirt off.
Okay, nobody. We don't say take it off. Just give us a sneak peek.
Where is it?
What is it though?
Right here on my chest.
Oh wow, that's a big. Oh, it's a kite.
Not a kite. It's the Broncos logo on this side, and the Deathly Hallows symbol on the other.
Right. You're one of those guys. You put the sports team. You tattoo it.
The sports team was gonna be a matching one with my dad before he passed, so I still went through with it.
You're an ass. You're the worst person ever.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm sorry. That
it
makes
is what it is.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I think that's special.
I'm glad you got to it before I could.
it never fails.
I did ask you before, because you're wearing a Broncos shirt today, yep. And then we were talking about the NFL draft tonight, yep. And I was like, what's with the Broncos thing? And you're like, my dad,
he grew up in Colorado.
Yeah, huge Broncos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the legacy lives on. We'll come back
We should circle back.
So the women are reclaiming this negative stereotype of like the whole trashiness of the tram stamp. You know what kind of pisses me off is that Gen Z will take something that like we've done, it's overplayed, and they'll bring it back like they invented it. Like, for example, I don't know, mom jeans, they love like the butterfly clips.
I'm a huge,
and all this stuff.
Listen, I love the mom jeans. I think on some women it is a sexy look. The baggy pants around the waist, hanging off a little bit. I think it looks good on some people. I don't mind the baggy pants.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're listening right now and you have a tram stamp, do you regret it? We'd love to hear from you. Or do you want to get one? The lower back tram stamp.
So I know people who have tram stamps, and a lot of them have got them removed. This was before they knew that Gen Z thought they were cool. But it brings me to my next point, because speaking of tattoos and regrets, you and I do not have tattoos. Joe does. We don't have tattoos. You keep saying not yet. I would put a lot of money on it that you will never get one.
You've seen me with tattoos. You know that I look good with them.
You getting ink box, wet and stick to your skin, it's not it. It's not it.
Yeah, but they last 2 weeks.
They last like 10 days. So
they
close,
last
though.
Like 2 weeks. These last like my lifetime.
A lifetime.
I know, but I want to see how it looks on me. And everybody that I've come in contact with says I look cool.
Yeah, I did the ink box one.
It's flaking off.
I did the ink box one before I got my first tattoo.
Okay.
To see okay, do I like it? And I could I applied
it. Could you get used
it.
To this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's the point. I went and got the permanent one.
Yeah, that's why I do it. Am I too old to do it?
No.
Thank you.
My dad got tattoos until he was almost 50.
I'm going to go against Joe's dad and say you're too old.
No, it's not that I'm too old. I'm scared because if I do it, I'm going to get in trouble from my dad.
No, you will. You'll get an ass whooping.
Yeah. I mean, I got yelled at. I didn't tell my mom. She saw a picture because my sister sent a picture of me in the tattoo chair.
Which one did you get first? The Broncos?
The Harry Potter one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh. See, those of you that still have a lot of respect for your parents, I don't want to get in trouble.
Shifting gears with the whole like tattoos and regret, Pete Davidson is deciding to get his tattoos removed because, quote, I used to be a drug addict and I was a sad person. I felt ugly and like I needed to be covered up. And I don't think there's anything wrong with tattoos, but mine, when I look at them, I remember a sad person that was very unsure. When I think of like something like that, I bring myself to the closest thing I can relate to is maybe like a song. If I hear a song, it brings me back to a moment in my life, whether it be a heartbreak or high school or things of that nature. And then I can just turn off the song. You can't take off the tattoo unless you get it removed, which sounds excruciating.
It does. You know, and it looks good on certain people. Like my ex-girlfriend before I left Rochester had no tattoos. And when I came back 12 years later, it's like all the animals from Seneca Park Zoo are now tattooed on her body. And she's a beautiful woman. I mean, with her job, she covers it up nicely. And she, I don't care. I mean, you do you. I'm just saying it's a lot of tigers and lions and bears. Oh, my.
Oh, my. Oh, my. She's greeting you at the Rochester airport. You can't see one inch of her skin.
It's, but I think I would be able to pull it off nicely. I just want something that's more meaningful.
You're
I don't want to put anything in my body.
Gonna send it.
You know what I mean? I want something that makes sense. Like maybe a little tiny lawnmower on my inner thigh.
A lawnmower on your inner thigh.
That makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
Not a walking one though, like a riding lawnmower.
Oh, we should definitely workshop that.
Yeah, we should definitely workshop that.
Yeah. I can't.
I'm just imagining him having a. Like a push mower on.
And he just shaves that one spot.
Yeah.
It's Peaks White Mornings with Moose and Breezy. This morning we're discussing what the etiquette is when it comes to first dates. How much communication is necessary before meeting for the very first time? And let's be honest, there's some people that love to just dish out their whole life story before actually meeting with someone. But I don't know. I think Breezy and I are on the same page that defeats the purpose of the first date.
I agree. Yeah, like, I mean, what is there to talk about? I'm going to get to know you in 2 days. Chill.
I enjoy the banter. I do. And making somewhat of a connection beforehand. But I think some people overdo it. And I'll give you guys an example of a first date I was supposed to go on. I set the time. I set the place. I set the date. Mm-hmm. And we chatted small talk for about 5 days leading up to that. But the day beforehand, there wasn't a whole lot of communication. So because I'm a man of my word, I do what I say. I show up and about 5 minutes go by, 10 minutes go by. So I politely text her and I said, hey, just a heads up. I'm at the bar. When you walk in, this is where I'm located. Just so you know, I'm here.
Okay.
And she goes, oh, I didn't hear from you yesterday. I just felt like you weren't interested. I said, well, we confirmed that this is where we were going to meet. I said, I apologize for the miscommunication.
Right.
If something were to come up, I would have 100% let you know.
Correct.
And she replied with, well, now I feel bad. Do you mind waiting 45 minutes? In which case I was like, yeah, I kind of mind.
Yeah, I'm good
so
on that.
I had a drink and made small talk with the bartenders and the staff. And it was one of the best dates I've ever been on. And then I left.
No, fully.
And then I went home.
He's like, honestly, I'd see that person again.
Would you see me? I'd see me.
But I'm just saying, like, what is the etiquette here? Because how many times do you need to confirm and how much banter is necessary? Because I've just never been that person. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Let's go over to intern Joe. We got Jamie on hold. Let's go over to Jamie. Hi, Jamie. Good morning.
Hi, Moose. Hi, Breezy. So
I don't know how other women feel about it, but I was always one of those girls who felt the need to bomb a guy with text before we met for the first date.
Why is that?
If we're talking, why stop talking once the date is planned? Doesn't really make sense to me.
Well, here's the thing. So if you agree to meet for a date, but then you want to text a bunch before you meet, I don't get it. Why? Like, save the conversation for the date.
Something for the imagination. What are you gonna have to talk about over a nice pan of scallops?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so yesterday someone anonymously wrote a post on, are we dating the same guy?
Oh.
Can I read this, or will you guys get in trouble?
We're not going to get in trouble. Okay, Maybe you will. Admin listening's punching air right now.
Are you reading it verbatim?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like this.
Okay.
So she wrote,
let it rip.
Thoughts and suggestions? If you have a date planned with someone for tomorrow night who said they were really looking forward to it yesterday, but you haven't heard from them in almost 24 hours, what are you supposed to think? I'm a teacher who's rarely on my phone, but if you were trying to get to know someone, you'd think there'd be a little more communication, no?
Okay, so...
So I kind of agree with that, and some others won't, but I never understood why it was so difficult for men to talk and reach out before the date.
Because
is that normal?
Well, I think what it is, Jamie, is that people are busy. They don't have time all day to text. When you set the date and you set the time, the most important part is that
you show up.
If the guy sets the date and time and he's there, that's it. Green flag.
Also, I think you're overthinking it. I think a lot of women do overthink it because whether they have traumatic past experiences or they have an insecure attachment style. But like when I started dating my girlfriend, I wouldn't even text her. And it made her mad. Like we were DMing for a minute and then she was like, here's my number. Text me. And I was like, I'm not doing it. I mean, there's just no need to be talking about anything and everything under the sun before you're face to face. I want to know and hear these stories with tone and diction and figure out like your cadence, because that proves to me or says to me whether or not you're into it or not.
Yeah, I've never been that guy. I'm the type of person where I will set the date, I will set the time, I will set the place. And there could be small banter leading up to that, but the 9 a.m. text, how are you, what's going on, all of that, you save it for the date. It's not that I'm not interested. I'm busy, and I'd rather get to know you in person than behind a screen.
Furthermore, I think that if they don't do that before and they do that after, that gives you an indication that the date went well.
Sure.
Because then you're like, oh, well, they did this before, so are they just doing it because this was our routine now?
Yeah, I get it, but and I don't need a full conversation, but it would be nice to at least confirm. Like, I need a guy to ask me, hey, are we still on for later?
Why?
Cool if they were like, hey, what's up? How's your day? Anything. I just wish some men, not all, but some, were better with communication.
Well, okay. Did he confirm the date, time, and place?
Maybe the day before. Like,
so what's the problem? If something came up, don't you think he would let you know?
It's not just that. It's just good to know that they're thinking about you.
So it's not even about the confirmation. You just want a text in general.
You need the attention.
I mean, I like the attention, yeah.
If I say I'm a man of my word, if I say I'm going to be somewhere, I'm going to be there. And if I'm not, I will let you know if something came up, if there was an emergency. But I've never really had to do that. That's it. If I say I'm going to be there, show up.
Right.
I'm just saying I like to keep the communication open.
I agree with what you're saying. I understand. But like I said, the most important part, I think, and maybe ladies listening, you can disagree if you want, but if he says he's going to be there and he actually shows up on that date, it says a lot about his character.
Now, I think
baseline.
I think after the first date, if there's no communication, that's when you can start hitting the panic button and be like, he's just not talked. You know, I'm not getting a text back. I'm not getting a text at all. That's when you start to be like, beforehand, you don't even know the person. Don't sweat it.
I just feel like some people who need the constant conversation before the date it's a red flag because they're not interesting. Do you not have enough to say in conversation on the date where you just have to constantly text beforehand?
Why? So you can like get inside jokes and stuff? Is that what you mean? Like to like kind of create banter so when you are together, you're like, remember we talked about that one thing?
No, in general, I feel like somebody who has to text a ton before the first date, They leave no room for conversation in person. Like, are you going to run out of things to say?
Right.
Are you going to run out of things to say? I'm not running out of things to say.
Yeah,
me?
I
mean,
could never be me.
Do you know what I do for a living? Of course not.
You would have to pay me to shut up.
But how many of you, 585-252-9800, how many of you listening feel like you need that confirmation more than once before the first date, or you need the banter leading up to the first date?
Honestly, Moose, I do think we're kind of in the minority for this. I just think that a lot of women have been burned in the past and they have a very severe anxious attachment style. And that's no fault of their own. But
We got a text from Lisa that says, I will not text before the first date because I'm scared of messing it up.
I can't even spell. So I want to avoid texting at all costs. I'll just let my personality shine. IRL. Thank you so much.
Well, I guess that's maybe just part of my personality that I like to have that constant communication, and I'm just looking for a guy who wants that too.
Yeah, and there's nothing.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because there's a lot of men. I have friends that do that, that will text a ton and confirm more than two or three times before the first date. I've just never been one of those people. I'm just pretty confident that the date's going to go well. And when I set a time, date, and place, we're both going to be there and we're going to have fun.
Period.
Okay.
Thanks, Queen. Good luck.
All right.
I mean, I know you weren't the one who wrote it, but if you do go on a date soon, good luck.
It's tough out there in those streets, though, Jamie. So good luck out there.
Thanks.
Okay. Have a great day. Thanks for the call.
Wowzies. I mean, listen, I get it. I understand it can be tough, but you can't let your anxiousness get the best of you.
What's it like in your world for a 25-year-old?
Well, Big Red and I texted a fair bit, even the day of the date, but it wasn't about the date. It was just
anything and everything.
It was just small talk. Like,
yeah, because you're excited.
Yeah, and granted, we didn't have the place hammered down until the day prior.
Yeah, that's fine, as long as it's
locked in. Do you think it's necessary, though, to chat before, or you just did that because you wanted to?
I think it is a little necessary, actually, to at least text a little bit to make sure that you, like, are actually communicating with the person, because there have been times when I've had a date set up and, like, we didn't communicate, and then, like Moose, I showed up and she did not.
But I think that's a generational thing. I think the older you get, you're just more confident with the fact that, hey, I'm confident you're going to be there. You know what I mean? We already talked about this. It's already been discussed. It's already been locked in.
I see both sides now. I see your side of like double confirming and making sure. But also, like, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And then on the other token, you can also reach out to me. If you're confused, like, you don't need to be courted. I don't know.
Let's go over to Ashley that says, guys, I agree. I stop or definitely cut back after setting up a date because I feel it can be easy to create this made up perfect version of someone in your head through text only, especially when you've never met them in person at all. I've been there, done that. That's easy to do.
Yeah.
So easy to do.
This person, I mean, if the date is not confirmed and she/he is not responding, then I will leave it. Don't waste your time. If the date is confirmed, then I honestly don't get why you should text all the time. I like to get to know them in person, not over text messages. For me, giving news once or twice a day is enough. But for the rest, I like to just spend time in person.
Yeah, I don't think you have to sit there and confirm it multiple times. Just, I think, making sure that the person like still responds to you.
Right.
I think that's kind of where I sit on that. Like,
yeah, no, I
just
understand.
Talk a little bit.
Yeah, and it depends on people's experiences throughout their dating careers, you know, and what they've done.
Careers.
With,
careers
is crazy.
What would you call it?
Life.
Experience.
Dating life, dating experience.
Their dating career. Let's go over
to Brooke. Getting paid to go out. That's an escort, my friend.
You know what? Let's we'll take a break.